In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
Father.
We celebrate today, 23rd Sunday of ordinary time. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlooker shall laugh at him and say, 'This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish.' Or what king marching into battle will not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king, advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he's still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I had the privilege of preaching on the gospel that stated that I have not come to bring peace, but division, a fire, a blaze on the earth, division between father and son, mother and daughter, father and son against son-in-law, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. And today I have, again, the distinct privilege of preaching on a gospel that, again, is divisive. Clearly, at the beginning of the gospel, whoever does not hate husband, wife, mother, father, children, brothers, sisters, even his own life, cannot be my disciple. These are tough gospels to preach on, because God is love. God is everything. God is beauty, God is peace. And yet these two gospels 3 weeks ago and today speaks of hate and of division and of complete discombobulation between brother and sister, as we know, at least in our human language. I'd like to start this brief homily with a reading that from Job that he writes here. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the last day I shall rise out of the earth, and I shall be clothed again with my skin, and in my flesh I shall see my God, whom I myself shall see, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. This my hope is laid up in my bosom." How mysterious that we will come again into a resurrected body, that we again will see ourselves as we see ourselves now in a glorified body, and that we will see the face of God. It's happening. It's going to happen. It's a reality that we must awaken ourselves over and over again on a daily basis. These pews that we fill up right now, in about 60, 70, 80 years, we will all be gone, and a new generation of people will be sitting here. Our lives, life as we know it, is slowly coming to an end for us, as those before us were here and now have passed. The hymn that we hear in the Liturgy of the Hours, "Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They sisters, as an introductory statement, and now leaning towards the first reading, which is one of the most deepest, beautiful readings of the Book of Wisdom, unsure are our plans. The deliberations of mortals are timid. For the corruptible body burdens the soul. It is about the mysterious will of God. We can deliberate, we can do everything we plan, but it is the mysterious will of God that has the final say in what He permits and He allows and He gives us the talent or ability to do. And the second and last part of the Book of Wisdom, this reading of wisdom, is the grace. For whoever knew His counsel, except His wisdom, sent from the Holy Spirit on high, and thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. The path for us that is straight is God's will. But yet, we don't see it as humans. So much so that the will of God for His Son was a crucifixion, a very bizarre way to redeem humanity to a non-Christian. And that's that paschal duality that we always continually have to live in our lives. We must continually die to ourselves and rise to Christ. Die to the sin, to the selfishness, to the way we think things should be by human judgment, and rise to the mysterious will of God. And that grace comes, it's a gift. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom to accept suffering in our lives. And it's none other than the cross. If ever anybody were to ask you, wherever you may be, you're a Catholic, explain to me in one sentence or two, what is your religion about? This is what we need to say. You would say, it is the mystery of Christ's death and resurrection. That is the central mystery of the Catholic faith. The mystery of Christ's death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. It is the mystery to which we always have to look so that we will not forget the meaning of life. That is the meaning of life. The meaning of life, at the end, is that we must die, but the solution to this problem of death is that we rise to a new life. And this life is a preparation for the time when we will face God in judgment. If we honor and venerate any saint, any venerable, anyone that Holy Mother Catholic Church raises to the state of sainthood, it is because he or she, that saint, confirms that the resurrection follows a painful moment of the cross in their lives. Read any saint, and there's hundreds upon hundreds for 2,000 years of and saints that the church has not declared because they don't know them. But read the story, they have all suffered like you and I suffer. If you say you don't suffer, then you're just maybe putting off the suffering, or drinking away the suffering, or drugging away it, or just being something completely different in who you are to deal with the suffering. It is the only path to heaven, and after Christ, the saints help us on this path to holiness, to heaven. We all have a path, a journey that God has traced out for us. It is just for us to follow that. And the cross comes in so many different ways for so many people. I have the privilege of seeing patients and hearing their stories, and the privilege of being in the church and seeing people's stories of loneliness, of death, of illness, of being slighted, of discombobulation, of discord in families, of wayward children, of drug addiction, of depression. So many just painful situations. The disorder, the mystery of existence. My brothers and sisters, it is important to understand that in all this, we must pray, we approach the sacraments. But we cannot purchase our salvation. Salvation is the work of God, and only Christ has paid that debt. There is nothing that we can do. There is no many how many hours that you spend before the Blessed Sacrament. There are not enough hundreds and thousands of rosaries that you can say. There are no many committees that you can serve on to serve the church or the poor that you can feed, or hours of prayer that will merit and give you salvation. Salvation is yours for the taking. What we have to do is allow God to work in us, to conform us, and then we rely on the mercy of God. Hold that thought, because we must pray, and we must come to the sacraments, and we must spend time before the Blessed Sacraments, and with all the prayers that we say, that we may conform ourselves to Christ and be the true human man and woman that God has called us to be. That's why Paul says that I work out my salvation in fear and trembling. Because we can't do it. It's a gift. But that gift has to be received. And we have to be able to receive that gift in the condition that God gives us. The Word of God is a two-edged sword. And it cuts on both sides. It's a mystery. It's difficult. But it's not impossible. And it leads to a way of life. Peace, of quiet, and a confidence in whatever God sends, that His wisdom is so much beyond ours, and we embrace the way of life that God has given us, even in the midst of disorder, of pain, and of sorrow. And so hence, now we come full turn into what Christ says today, that we must hate our mother and our father, even our own selves, even our own life, even our own life. Well, how is that? Well, we love our mother and father. We love ourselves. But if anything gets in the way of understanding that life is about suffering and then rising continually, anything gets in that way, the only person that gets in our way of thinking like that is the tempter, Satan. If there's a mother or father, son or daughter that puts us in that in our mind, we must hate what they are telling us. I love you, but I hate what you're doing. I love you, but I hate what you're saying. I hate the way you're living, but I love you. God doesn't call us to hate the person, but we hate. Yes, what you're doing right now is not good. And I hate you for it. But I hate you, what you do, not what you are. And that is what God is calling us here. We must love ourselves, but we must hate the sin in ourselves. And we say, if we say that we do not have sin, then we are deceiving ourselves. We always see it. As the communion line gets longer, the confessional lines get shorter. When in fact, the confessional line should be longer and the communion line should stay or grow. If we say we do not have sin, well, I do my part. I do my part. I serve. I go to Mass. I'm good. Yes, we are good. But God is holy. And we, to be admitted into His presence, we must become like Him. Nothing we can do that. But we must prepare ourselves through fasting, through the Blessed Sacrament, through rosaries, through prayer, through approaching the sacraments, through carrying our cross. A Christian equals a Christian, a cross bearer. Christian equals a cross bearer. The sign of a cross is the sign of a Christian. The sign of a cross is an instrument of torture of the Romans used. But we see it so much everywhere, on bumper stickers, on everywhere. So some thoughts and closing statements. We are called to a fullness of life which far exceeds the dimensions of our earthly existence. Again, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for us. Jeremiah, before I knew you, I formed you in the womb to be the image of me. We image God. We are going to share the very nature of God. We are going to live with the Trinity. That must change us, embolden us, completely recalculate our compass, and lead us to a way of holiness. God is always acting to bring about this intention in us. Whatever discombobulation, whatever anxiety, worry, trouble, whatever is happening, God is at work. He works to bring about our sanctification in His permissive will, in His direct will. If we don't understand that, then we have to go sit with the Blessed Sacrament. We must pray that He may share graces with us, send us the Holy Spirit, as the first reading in Wisdom, that we may understand that, and that we may squarely place the beam of the cross on our shoulder. The Christian life cannot be understood as anything other than a permanent and daily picking up of the cross. There's no other way. Redemption is concrete. The cross is concrete. Let us allow ourselves to be worked upon. Let God do His work. Finally, in the second letter of Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, bear your share of hardship for the gospel. We all have a burden to share. We all have a part in redemption, and helping ourselves and our brothers and sisters in salvation. We are other Christs. Finally, the great 17th spiritual director, De Caussade, states, God teaches the heart not by ideas and thoughts, but by pains and contradictions. It's the only way that we will stay fastened to the cross and seek God. So there's no cross. Life is good. Yeah, I die with that. Yeah, that's the way it is. Whomever does not carry his own cross,